Grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our blessed Lord Jesus. Again from Revelation chapter 7, these words of our God. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He who sits on the throne will shelter them in His presence. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The Word of God. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all the tribes and peoples and languages, old people and young people, professionals and blue-collar workers, the rich and the refugees, the old man who died in hospice, and the infant that never made it out of the womb, prison guards and prisoners, doctors and overdose victims, parents and children, the well-educated and the uneducated, divorcees and orphans, those who were loved and those who were abandoned, martyrs and murderers, the well-known and the unknown, the Eskimo and the African, those who lived B.C. and those who lived A.D., the hearing and the deaf, the prince and the pauper, they're all there. Not one is missing. And they're all equal, shoulder to shoulder, united. Seemingly, they have nothing in common but this: sin and death. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Our family tree skips no generations, no person. The wages of sin is death. But that is not all they have in common, because all of them are clothed in white robes. For they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They are forgiven their sins. Born of the family tree of fallen Adam, they were born again into the family tree of the risen Christ, who took their sins away at His cross. And so they all have this in common: they have been sainted. They are made to be saints in Christ. They are His blessed ones. And oh, what their joy and their glory must be. But in life, they look just like everyone else. They look like the progeny of men, not the sons of God. They look like sinners, not saints. But you see, that's the thing about God's work in us. What we really are and what we're going to be is hidden for now. Just as it was with Jesus. He looked like nothing more than a Nazarene, a Galilean, and the son of Joseph, and and poor and despised at that. But hidden from the eyes was his identity as the blessed Son of God, who very soon would ascend and claim his throne in heaven. And so in him, in his victory over sin and death, we too are the blessed sons of God. That is what we are. We read that in the epistle reading today. That is what we are. We are the blessed one, the children of God. But you would never know it right now, would you? As we all struggle with sins and sorrows and tribulations. And we wonder sometimes why that blessedness that the blessed ones in heaven are enjoying, why can't we have that blessedness now? Why can't we have right now what they are enjoying in heaven? But whoever said we don't? You know, maybe we need a new take on what blessedness really is. We think that blessedness means we should have heaven on earth right now, and that to be blessed is to have what they have, to be free of tears and sorrows and not be so sad and not wanting for anything, and to have all of our heart's desires, to have health and to be strong and to be successful and happy, at least most of the time, maybe. But if that is the kind of blessedness we set our hearts on, the best of what this world has to offer, then those things become our idols. They become our gods. And we are not really blessed at all. And yet that is where most people in this world set their hearts. They are serving at the thrones of happiness and success and pleasure and strength and ease. But Jesus has a different take on blessedness. His Beatitudes, this list of blesseds from our gospel reading today, they sound so strange in our ears. And they sound strange because we are so short-sighted and so focused on what we see here, while the Father in heaven is focused on the long-term goal and is always leading us toward that. And so blessedness is not the best of what this world has to give. Blessedness is the best of what God has to give as eternal gifts in Christ. Christ is the Blessed One. And therefore, true blessedness has nothing to do with having this perfect, carefree, healthy, wealthy, always happy and jovial life. But rather, blessedness is this, that wherever you are, whatever your struggle is or your tribulation, the Blessed One is with you to forgive you, to uphold you, to refresh you. You are poor. So he's given you his kingdom. You grieve, so he comforts you. You are lowly and meek in this world, so he bequeaths to you the earth as your inheritance. You hunger and you thirst for a righteousness that you can't achieve, and so he satisfies you, and he gives you his righteousness, and he washes you clean in his blood and in the waters of your baptism, and you are his saints. That great multitude of the saints that no one can number is not just gathered in that heavenly sanctuary, but it's also gathered right here in this sanctuary. The saints in glory are no more blessed than you are. For we all possess the same blessings that Christ purchased for us on the cross. The difference is that the saints in glory have shed every vestige and every consequence of sin. And that's why we sing today, we feebly struggle, but they in glory shine. And yet all are one in thee, for all are thine. And that's blessedness. We all belong to him. And the day is coming, for us too, when Jesus will pull us through death and the grave to where there is only life and blessing and no more sin or sorrow or sickness or pain or tribulation or death. In the meantime, death remains very hard for us here because what we see is the separation and the pain and the finality of it. But All Saints' Day teaches us to see as Jesus sees, that in Him death is but slumber, and the grave is but the gate to everlasting life. And the blessed ones are those who have Him, who belong to Him. No matter which sanctuary they are in, the heavenly one or this one, for whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord. And belonging to the blessed one is the definition of blessedness. And that's a hard lesson for us to learn. Our hearts just keep tugging us right back to the things of this world, telling us that blessedness is all about the good life here and now in what we can see. And there are preachers who preach that. But that's why tribulation and trouble in this life are so good for us and have a salutary effect for us. A little poverty of spirit, a little mourning, a little persecution is exactly what we need to keep our focus on what is truly blessedness, to reorient our hearts and our minds away from the temporal things of this world, which will always disappoint us, to the things of God that endure forever, and to reset our faith compass back to true north. In our family, as many of you know, I lost my sister-in-law this past week. And we have cried. We're missing her already. We feel cheated. Out of all the things we had hoped to do with her, go get some ice cream or come to church or have Christmas together or maybe a bowl of popcorn. We're not the first to feel those kinds of things, and we won't be the last. But even in loss, there is something very salutary and beneficial happening, because the sorrow and the grief keeps us oriented to the things that really matter, to the blessedness that is hers and that is ours as those who belong to Christ. And that's what I love about All Saints, thinking about those that we loved who are with the Lord. Their perfect blessedness keeps me looking forward, keeps all of us looking forward to that day when Jesus calls us home and brings to fulfillment all of His promises to us. Keeps us looking forward to that moment when we move from this sanctuary to the heavenly sanctuary, to that day of our coronation and our glorification at the throne of the Lamb of God, who takes away our sins, who calls us His own, His blessed ones, His children, His saints forever. It is a whole different take on blessedness. Blessed are you. No matter what you're going through, blessed are you, for yours is the kingdom of God. And there is no greater blessedness than that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.